It is 8:23 and 67 degrees. We welcome Cliff McCollum from the Baldwin County Legislative District office in this morning. Hey, Cliff.
Good morning, Laura.
Thank you for joining us today on the second Friday, which is customary now, to get an update on what our state lawmakers have been up to. And then do you get to stick around for Swap Shop?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's when the bromance with you and Mark continue, and the show is just always a lot of fun. I can like go get my nails done or something and just let you two carry on.
We always find something to talk about.
Oh, it's always fun, yes. But here we try to cover the serious things and maybe the not-so-serious things that our lawmakers are accomplishing. Let's start with the lighter note. We can now have alcohol delivered to our houses in Alabama, is that correct?
Once the governor signs it, I believe, yes.
Is she expected to do so?
I believe so, yes.
Now, this was not in our district. This was another representative further north of us.
That's correct, but it's a statewide bill.
So before, when we saw those commercials to join a wine club and get X amount of bottles of wine every month mailed to you for X amount of dollars, we couldn't do that.
Mm.
So we now can, we can, when wait, the governor signs it.
When the governor signs it. And also be able to do some alcohol delivery as well. There are two different bills. There's one that's just for, I believe, wine delivery, and then there's one that includes like liquor and mm-hmm. other items. And both of those, I think, would be a great benefit to people here in Alabama. And the amounts that were attached to those bills, like, you'll be able to get plenty there to the house if you're having a party and you just don't want to leave. And especially over this last year with all the COVID stuff, you know, there's been a lot of folks who have been afraid to, like, go out and shop and do things.
That was the inspiration, I believe, from the lawmaker. And I apologize, I can't remember his name. He's not one of ours.
He's not one of ours. And I honestly can't remember the name either. But whoever it is, a salute from me. Because if I don't have to leave my house to go get a bottle of wine, I am 100% in favor of that.
Another one that folks, some didn't even know you couldn't already, and that is a legislation from our local lawmaker, is allowing dogs to join us at restaurants or other establishments with outdoor patio dining.
It's one of those things because, you know, we live here in Fairhope, and, you know, okay, you'll see folks have their dogs and stuff occasionally with them. But technically, public health department regulations, as it stands right now, it's technically verboten.
Mm-hmm.
So Representative McMillan, Steve McMillan, he's the chairman of our House delegation and a very long-serving legislator, has done a great job for us. He's brought forward this bill that would legalize having your pet dog there for the outdoor dining, which, especially here in Baldwin County, a lot of us really love our animals and want them to be able to enjoy going out and having fun with us. And, you know, I mean, again, Lori, we live here in Fairhope. People are already doing this. I've never really seen a problem with it. So I think it's just kind of one of those things that, you know, we don't really realize it needed changing until somebody brings it to our attention. So I'm very glad that Representative McMillan took the time to research this, find this out, and try to come up with a good solution.
Some other topics of interest that our guys had a hand in as far as introducing or creating or drafting, if I'm using the right word, would be, or correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Senator Chris Elliott have a hand in developing the bill that would remove the state of emergency closure responsibilities from the state health officer and limit those with the governor?
He has certainly been talking with his fellow senators about that for quite some time. I think Senator Whatley was actually the one who brought that bill forward, but I know he and Senator Elliott have worked very, very closely together on a lot of different things, and I remember hearing discussions back and forth about that particular issue, trying to maybe rein in some of those powers and make sure that the legislature is included in some of that decision-making process rather than it being just by executive fiat.
And one official not even elected.
Correct.
So what's the progress on that? Did that pass?
It's continuing to make its way through the legislature right now. I can tell you two bills that did pass this week, though, that are and have both been signed by the governor. that I think our your listeners would be very, very interested in.
The mental health court.
Mental health
court. I've seen a lot of that on the news lately, yeah. And we've talked about that extensively.
We have. Representative Simpson's mental health court bill passed and was signed by the governor. So now that the funding source is in place, our sheriff and our district attorney and Alta Point and our judges are going to be able to kind of come together and try to form what they think this mental health court should be. And I've done a lot of research on this to try to help Representative Simpson. And we went up to Jefferson County to kind of see how their mental health court works, because there are several across the state of Alabama. Jefferson's is a very good one. And
it's kind of like the Veterans Court.
Or the drug court. It's a diversionary program to where if somebody has a genuine quantified mental health issue, rather than just sitting in the jail, you can shift them over to get treatment and counseling and mm-hmm. medication.
That's
which
good.
Helps protect them better and honestly brings down your cost in your jail, helps protect the other inmates better, not to mention the good corrections officers that are working there at the jail as well. So it'll be a very beneficial program for Baldwin County. And we're really... really looking forward to that. That has been a labor of love. Tried to get it passed last year, but because of the shortened COVID session, we were not successful in doing that. So this year, got it over the line.
Okay.
The other one that passed and was signed by the governor, and this is actually a big deal, not just for Baldwin County, but our state as a whole. Senator Elliott had a bill that offered changes to how the Educational Foundation Program funds our schools. And I'll tell you why this one's especially important for Baldwin County and Gulf Shores City Schools as well. When you've got a growing school system like we do here, and every year we're adding more and more children, the funding for that fiscal year is based on the number of kids you had before, that year before. So every year we're getting funding from the state, we're not getting full funding for the number of children that we have.
Right.
Usually to the tune
it's
of
like
about
retroactive, yeah.
Usually to the tune of about 1,100 kids, and you have to make up that funding with local money. What Senator Elliott's bill does is it tweaked the formula a bit and helps catch it up to where growing school systems will be able to get that extra influx of cash for the new students that they have had come into their system in real time. So it's a big boon to not only, I mean, you know, Baldwin County will benefit, Gulf Shores will benefit, all of our growing school systems across the state of Alabama. I'm thinking of Opelika and Auburn back home.
Right.
Several of the Birmingham ones, there are schools all around our state that are having huge amounts of growth, but they're having to fund that growth locally because of the delay.
Mm-hmm.
This one, that Governor Ivey signed it the other day, so that is now state law, and that's something that was very important to Senator Elliott. He's always been very big on education, making sure that our schools get funded and get the money that they need, especially here in Baldwin County. So it's a great win for education across our state.
Speaking of education, Dr. Lou Campomenosi with Common Sense Campaign talks a good bit on his talk show here and in general about Common Core and the need for it to be changed, citing poor scores compared to before and after it was enacted. Is there any pending litigation, any penny legislation concerning looking at changing the Common Core?
There are actually a number, at least one bill. There usually, almost always, is a bill about that. If I had to guess, I would probably say Representative Sorrell or Representative Mooney have probably filed that one. But no, that is has been a constant thing since Common Core has been introduced. There have been bills trying to push back against Common Core.
Okay, and what about lottery legislation? Where do we stand there?
It was a very confusing day in the Senate the other day because they brought up Senator McClendon's standalone paper lottery bill. There was a very long discussion. And, Lori, it's one of those things, you know, I used to be a journalist. I have watched a lot of stuff over the years, and even I'm still not entirely certain exactly what happened because I thought it passed, but then somebody brought up a motion to reconsider and that passed, so that means that it didn't pass. I'm gonna reach out to my good friend Todd Stacy, who does Alabama Daily News. We were in college together. I'm gonna reach out to Todd and be like, Todd, can you please explain to me what on earth happened the other day? Because while that was going on, I was also watching the House Judiciary Committee, which was discussing the medical marijuana bill.
Ah, okay. What's up with that?
It was a very long and tedious meeting of the House Judiciary Committee where a number of amendments were attempted to be added to the bill that changed various things, and some of them were accepted, some of them were not, but it looks like the favorable report was given out of the Judiciary Committee, so now that bill will move to the Health Committee.
Okay.
So it's still ongoing, it's still being discussed, but, you know, as long as it keeps progressing, there is hope that it may pass this year.
So is this session seem longer to me than normal, or was it in two parts because of COVID? What's going on there?
There was a small break right there at the beginning just to see after that first week maybe if there was a COVID concern, if we needed to kind of do what we did last year and do a shortened session. I think after last year where it was such a shortened session, this one seems longer, but this is the normal time frame. And so we're maybe about 60-70% done with the legislative session this year. There's only so many legislative days left, so everybody's trying to get stuff through.
May 30th, according to Google, is so they've got
I think May 21st actually would be the last possible legislative day.
I see. Okay.
Memory serves.
All right. Well, it is 8:35 and 67 degrees. We're speaking with Cliff McCollum with the Baldwin County Legislative District Office here on Community Contact, as is customary, the second Friday of each month. We're going to take a break. There was a bad issue on the interstate we need to check in on for you with Kenny in Coastal Traffic.
From the Spring Hill Toyota Traffic Center, still close to a 3-mile delay, I-10 headed eastbound with an accident.
What happened to Secretary of State John Merrill? I thought he was a fine, upstanding man doing a great job with our elections. He knew Dominion machines weren't trustworthy. He kept us on the straight and narrow when it came to our election procedures, but obviously not his own personal life.
You know, it was a bomb that kind of dropped in Montgomery that afternoon when all that started going around. I started getting texts from all over the state from people who found out about that story.
I've only heard bits and pieces, but apparently a woman that he had an affair with released an audio tape and video too.
There was a number of things that were talked about in that allegation because it came from I know it's a journalist that had some ties to actually Congressman Mo Brooks, and there were a number of allegations that were brought forward in that interview that I don't know that I necessarily feel comfortable talking about on the radio, to be completely honest.
So, but he's not going to be expelled or ousted from office. He's just not going to run for U.S. Senate.
Well,
is that correct?
There's a possibility, because some of the things that were mentioned in her interview were that he had used his state phone to message her, and he had used like his state vehicle to come see her at places.
So, that's really what's the lawbreaker. I mean,
that's what happened with Governor Bentley.
Yes, as far as having an affair, you know, I don't believe you can legislate that. But the fact that they're using state coffers, monies, resources in order to do those things is what is the violation.
No, and there have been some calls for him to resign. I would not be surprised if you saw the Attorney General's office start an investigation into that, or perhaps the Ethics Commission. I think we may see multiple investigations. And she also made some comments and made some allegations that he had used some racially charged language when talking about black people. So
does this sound at all like a setup to you, a revenge? Could be. We don't know.
You know, I couldn't possibly speculate.
Okay. Later. All right. Anything else that you want to talk about that's happening in Montgomery here this morning?
As session winds down, there's always it gets more and more hectic. So we'll probably have a few more bills that may come out. Senator Elliott's bill on police and planning jurisdictions.
Oh, thank you for reminding me of that. That hasn't been addressed yet.
It was on the special order calendar yesterday for the House, but they adjourned before they got to it. There was a dispute between the Democrats and the Republicans about moving forward on some stuff, so they ended up just adjourning, which happens from time to time. So
that's gonna be hard to get the entire state to agree. Or do I recall that Baldwin County is one of the few counties that still have municipalities that have the extra.
No, whole state does it. Everybody does
okay,
it.
That's what I thought.
Because I know from living back home in Lee County, Opelika and Auburn mm-hmm. have exercised theirs for years, from talking to friends of mine that have worked at other papers and news organizations around the rest of the state. It's an issue across our state. It's not just us. Although some of the more egregious examples of overreach that have been used to give an example have sadly been here in Baldwin County.
Such as?
The one that Senator Elliott always likes to point to, and Lori, you know I love Fairhope. I love Fairhope with all my heart, but there was an incident involving someone's okra sign out in Barnwell and the...
Okra for sale?
Okra for sale.
Okay.
And the city told them they couldn't have a sign out in their yard.
But they're in the county. But they were in the 3-mile jurisdiction. Yeah. And they're not supposed to be able to tell you that because you don't get to vote.
Yeah.
That's the catch 22. Taxation without representation, so to speak. Okay.
So that was just one of the more egregious examples. Mm-hmm. Of when you tell a farmer they can't sell their okra. Also, I never saw that okra sign, and I live out in Barnwell. So if y'all got some okra, please let me know. I love okra. I'll come buy you okra. You don't even have to put a sign out. I'll just come get it. Y'all just holler.
All right. Okay. Well, on that note, we will wrap up our serious conversation, and we encourage you to stick around for Swap Shop for the not-so-serious conversation with Cliff McCollum. Thank you, Cliff.
Always happy to be
with
here.
With our Baldwin County Legislative Office.